10. I will get my own back, don't worry. Possibly shortly. It is still good to be back and to see new life and first time to see Ross and Nadia's little baby. And a special welcome to Cammy too today, whose wife Elle had a little boy this week. So that's very exciting. So that is good. At the back today, there's a table full of books. And these were books that were on the bookshelf, and they are available. Please take a little look today and take away any of these books that you would like to have. There'll probably be books the next 3 weeks. They'll be different every week. Any that aren't taken today will go off to a charity shop or whatever. So please have a look at some good books there. That would be really helpful. That's one I've snaffled already this morning. So take time just to check these out before you go. Can we hit the lights, please, Colin? Thank you. That's good. I wonder what you think about when you hear the word. That's what I felt like when I heard. When you hear the word Sabbath. When you hear the word Sabbath. Perhaps for some of you it's something that's important, and for others something that you've never really given any thought to. I happened to mention just to three people that this was going to be the subject, and all three of them were very excited. And I think they're all here this morning just to hear what I'm going to say about it. But they were helpful to me by giving me some of their insights, and I'm grateful for that. So whether this is a subject that is close to your heart or a subject you've perhaps never given any thought to, I pray that what God has to say to you this morning will be helpful, as it has been helpful for me in my preparation. Most of you will know that I've just returned from a sabbatical, and I thought, wow, that fits really well after all. Sabbath, a blinding insight. Now, it may seem abundantly clear to you there's an obvious link between Sabbath and sabbatical. Yes, that's why I gave you the subject, said Clive, one step ahead. I'll give him that one. But as we think about Sabbath, we're going to be thinking about this Sabbath, rest or restless. And there are all kinds of debates that have gone on through the centuries. Is Sabbath irrelevant to Christians? Is Sunday our Sabbath? Is any day the Sabbath? Or should we really still be meeting on Saturdays for Sabbath? And there are likely to be many different views here this morning. Someone talks of walking a Sabbath tightrope and the danger of falling on one side where it's all about do's and don'ts, and falling on the other side where anything goes and it doesn't really matter at all. As I was started to prepare, I thought this could become something of a kind of factual lecture, but I'm going to try and keep away from that as much as possible to make it something practical that we can apply in our lives. I hope you guys are having a happy childhood as you grow up, and girls. And for me, I was very grateful as I thought about this that I had a happy childhood except for one big black cloud. And that big black cloud for me was Sundays. Oh my goodness, what a boring day. Can you imagine not being allowed to put on your TV, not being allowed to look at your tablets or go online, not allowed to meet with friends who are not Christians? You could go out in the back garden, but you couldn't go to the local park with friends. All these very important things to keep, but definitely, most definitely, a fun-free zone on a Sunday. Some of you may relate to that, but how I used to long for an invite from the one family in the church with other boys to come to their house on a Sunday afternoon so that I could play Skelectric. Well, that's another black cloud. I never got a Skelectric. And another black cloud. I never got a chopper either. Maybe I'm going to need therapy by the time I get through all this. But I can relate to the child who is horrified to think, what if heaven is like Sabbath days forever? How terrible would that be? Growing up, life got much better, became much more ordered, except for Sundays. Maybe some of you have struggled. Who struggled to get here this morning for 11 o'clock? Thank you for your honesty, one or two of you. Now imagine Sunday morning begins and you're off and running at 9:30 off to church for the communion service, and then on to the family service at 12:30, and then straight into the Sunday school at 1:30, and then off to visit with the church to the people in hospital, very needy, by 4:00, and then back to the church at 6:30 for the prayer meeting, and then 7:00 the evening service, and then 8:00 the youth fellowship, and back home at 10:00. What a glorious day of rest. However, if sabbatical is like Sabbath, maybe I do like it after all. Because this is what Sabbath and sabbatical means. It means rest. It means the breaking of a routine. Now, surely something went wrong somewhere. But you know, we're not the first to make it what it's not meant to be. Sabbath is still a very important and essential part of the Jewish faith. And in Jesus' time, the key issue for Sabbath was less about this principle of rest and more about the fact that people were not allowed to work. People were not allowed to work. And that became their focus. Well, they had to think, what does that mean in practice? Well, surely if you carry a burden, then that's work. They thought. What's a burden? Well, if it's food and carrying food, you can carry that as long as it's not heavier than a fig. Now, what about if it's things like milk? Well, that's okay as long as it's not more than one swallow. What about, in detail, what about if it's ink? Well, you can write 2 letters. That's enough for a Sabbath. And maybe going out is work. Can you actually go about and carry false teeth in your mouth or an artificial leg? Because these are a weight that you have to carry. This is genuine. And you shouldn't lift your child on Sunday because that is also work. And today in Israel and some of the modern hotels, still there is a lift for 6 days of the week and a lift for the Sabbath day lift. And in that Sabbath day lift, it stops however high the hotel on every level, because there are no buttons. Because if you had to press the button on a Sabbath, you would be working. So that is the Sabbath day lift. It does seem perhaps ridiculous, but adding rules, as we've already thought, seems to be something of the natural way of human beings. But the issue of Sabbath and rest is still hugely relevant today. In fact, making front page headlines in the Times this week. And this is the article inside, talking about Sunday trading and also big debates in the newspaper about how this will impact on society and in family life. Not a good thing, they're saying. Although we've already got it in Scotland, and you see the new place of worship, which is up in Livingston in the mall, that is packed on a Sunday. A lot of the arguments that Jesus had with the Pharisees revolved around the fact he didn't keep the Sabbath day in the way they thought everyone should. What was he doing? Going about healing people and doing good on the Sabbath? Surely that is work. They carried out the letter of the law, but they completely missed the heart of the matter. What is the heart of the matter? We need to go back to the very beginning, a very good place to start. In Genesis chapter 2, and this is what we read, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the 7th day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the 7th day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the 7th day and made it holy, because on it he rested from the work of creating all that he had done. Before we even arrived in the world, God had made it all. He actually didn't need us at all, because he is God and we are not God. He can do more as you sleep than you can do in a whole lifetime. And so we need to celebrate that God is enough. But God sets a principle of rest for us all to follow, but also a day that is holy. And holy just means different, means set apart from other days. I'm glad that somehow the church survived without me for 2 months. That's a joke. Because thankfully, it's his church. He is the head of the church. It is by him and for him and through him and all for his glory. But it's also a key element for a Sabbath, for us to remember God doesn't need us to achieve his purposes, though he does choose to use us. Now, I was looking online, I found this interesting story, and it was quite surprising, really, because Passion City Church in America decided to do something very radical with the Sabbath to show this truth. For two Sundays, they were completely closed. And here's what they released to their members. I know it's a bit unconventional for church to not meet, but for us, it's a needed and desired time to pause and remember that God is the source of all we have and are. For us, Sabbath is not just a good idea, it's the cornerstone of our walk with Jesus, a reflection of our understanding of his grace demonstrated from the earliest of times. Remembering who God is, that he is sovereign, and that we trust him and obey him. While it's true that God gives us work to do and roles to play in his story, he wants us to remember each step of the way that it's us who are counting on him and not the other way around. Jesus is the cornerstone of our lives and his church. Everything that is lasting and true rests on him alone. It goes on, we are taking a collective pause. It's not just a break. It's a time to remember the faithfulness of Jesus and to renew our confidence in him. It's a way of giving him glory by trusting him in our rest. When we wait and rest, we embrace our finiteness, our weakness, our smallness. And when we look up, we honor him by letting him know that we know what he knows, that Jesus is all we need. So let's make space to remember. Let's not try to cram the days of rest with more striving of another kind. Take time for yourself and time to be with family and friends. Make notes of remembrance and pray prayers of thanks. Give God glory for what he has done. Tell him that you're confident he is going to be and do all you need in the future. That was their release to their massive church and a very radical thing to do. We are on next week, by the way. That's not a change of plan. But it's a very unusual approach for a church. But I realize that as a church, perhaps we try to give value to this Sabbath day by not filling it with services and expectations, not just because the horrors of my childhood, but for the benefit and for the blessing of all of us. Something of a gift of a day that we can really make use of in the right way. We heard earlier about God providing for the people of Israel in the desert as he gave them the manna. And on the seventh day, there was no manna because on the sixth day, God would give enough. He would give twice as much so that the people could continue to trust in him as being sovereign. And years ago in the West, I knew a young Christian, and he was a great entrepreneur, a businessman, and he set up a flooring business. And it was doing really well, and he was open 7 days a week. And he was there 7 days a week, and he couldn't come to worship. And I met with him, and he said, there's no way I could even think of closing the shop. Sunday is probably our biggest day of trading. And so I left it with him. Shortly after, he came back, and he said, I really think this is what God wants me to do, to close the shop on Sunday. And he took that step and was amazed to find that his takings for the week from then on, as he did that, increased. Because as the Bible tells us, he who honors me, I will honor. And that God is no man's debtor. Many governments have tried to impose 7 day or even 10 day weeks on their population to improve profits ultimately and what they think is efficiency. But they've found that the opposite takes place because as God's creation, we are programmed to need 1 day off in seven. And even in that rhythm of 1 and 7, that was to apply to the animals. And wider than that, in the Old Testament, we read that for the land, that every 7 years the land was to be left alone. And anything that grew during that time, the poor people could come and take some food to eat, and the land would rest. It's important for all of us to work, who work, to see if we honor and trust God in all of our lives to provide what we need. So will you rest, or are you restless? Are you working too many hours to make as much money as you can? Is your mind always on the job? Are we neglecting our families? Do you find your identity in your work? Are we resting and trusting as we should? Or are we wearing ourselves out? Are we resting, or are we restless? As young people, in our studies and in our efforts to succeed, to be successful in life, in sport, do we honor God and trust Him by relying on Him? Or do we rely on our own efforts? Do we make an idol of study and sport and success, all good things in themselves, but can easily take the place of God and to the neglect of God? Here's a good example for the young people. You might recognize this guy. Who's that? Daniel Sturridge, a big hero of Finlay. And Daniel Sturridge is known for always coming up with this and saying this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's a great example for us to remember in the midst of our studies and as we seek to do well and succeed in our lives, that we put God first. But there's a rhythm of rest built into this that we ignore at our peril. And Clive's good at that. Clive's Sabbath, Clive's day off is a Tuesday, and his texts and emails are switched off on that day. I was a little bit worried when I started my sabbatical at some of the physical symptoms that I had. I had tingling in my thumbs and fingers when I realized that they were just itching to be texting or phoning, as some of you may have imagined. It took a little bit of time just to settle into a different rhythm, a more healthy rhythm. But as young people and as adults, I wonder, does technology take over your life? It happens so easily. Will you rest, or are you restless? We come to Exodus and commandment number 4. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that it's set apart, that it's different from other days in the week. But wait, Sabbath is actually Saturday. So why is it moved to Sunday for Christians? You know, there's no definitive answer to this. Some of the evidence are that the disciples met on the Sabbath day just after Jesus had died. But after his resurrection, they met on the first day of the week. And they believe that it was a transition to establish a Sunday as the Lord's Day. And this was accelerated as the gospel spread to the Gentile areas, and Christians began to meet on the first day in the name of the risen Lord. So in Acts 20, Luke records that Paul's missionary party met together with the Christians on the first day of the week, which is a Sunday. Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth about taking up an offering for the relief of the poor, just as we've had our offering, on the first day of the week, which he says is the practice of all the churches. And Sunday worship was finally instituted by the Roman Emperor Constantine, who had become a Christian. All of this suggests that perhaps the day itself is not of primary importance, although for Christians, Sunday's always the preference, but rather the observance of one day in 7, which is set apart as holy. I was talking to a friend, he was telling me in Saudi Arabia, some of the churches meet on a Monday, because that's a day off for the people when they can be there. I personally believe that Sunday is generally the best day for most of us to have Sabbath, because that's when we come together to worship as God's people. But for those who have to work on a Sunday and get a day off during the week, then that needs to become a Sabbath during the week. It's less about the precept of specific day of Sunday and more about the principle of having a day where you rest. And more than that, not just rest, but honor God for who he is. Ultimately, and helpfully, it's not something for us to be legalistic about. In Romans 14, we read not to judge each other as one man considers one day more sacred than another. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. In Colossians, it says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you with regard to a Sabbath day. Jesus spoke words that shocked the Pharisees to the core. He said he was Lord of the Sabbath. As he went about doing good and healing on the Sabbath, Jesus was not cancelling the use of the Sabbath. He was correcting the use of the Sabbath. And as the one who declared himself to be Lord of the Sabbath, he had the right and the authority to do that. I've been freshly shown that Sabbath, despite my childhood experience, is a gift. It's a gift from God to us, but also a gift from us to God as we honor him by remembering that one day. And the crucial issue and the challenge for Christians is that we do not lose this distinctive, this God-ordained witness in the fourth commandment. Louis Giglio says, Sabbath is more than a day off, it's a day up. Sabbath is an attitude of the heart that prompts us to remember our lives are not simply the products of our hard work and ingenuity. Sabbath is the art of breathing in and acknowledging that we are what we are because of the grace of God. What ingredients could we have for a Sabbath day? I spoke with Gerald and Avril and had some helpful insight from them into their approach to the Sabbath day. For them, it's a day for meeting together with God's people. I'm glad to hear this morning as evidence of that. A day away from technology and all work emails. Part of the day they spend on their own, worshipping God. Part of the time they spend together and to read, to listen, to music. And they had perhaps a helpful suggestion, something you've not thought about. Many of you with young families, how do you get a Sabbath day? Well, perhaps a gift that you can give each other is some time on a Sunday on your own to get that peace and quiet and time with God. And not being legalistic, they try not to show up on a Sunday and proactively try to have everything organized by a Saturday. They enjoy the pleasure of a one Sunday service. And they find that hospitality is restful too. We've got time to do that. We've got a whole day after lunchtime. And that it's for their good. For them, it was vital to keep a holy day, to devote themselves to those things that deepen their love for God. Because if God needed to rest, how much more do we? Perhaps I need to be more intentional with what we do on a Sabbath day rest. Do we just lie on the couch and go to sleep for the day and think, wow, that was a great rest, and really don't give any thought to God? Do we just switch off and have a holiday? Or is it a holy day? As we set apart this day to meet with God, we gain a fresh insight into our lives and into our work as we see things from his perspective, from their true perspective. So I encourage you to accept the gift of one day's rest a week. Perhaps have to humble yourself to believe that you need it, to examine your life for the place of rest in it, to evaluate how you spend Sundays. Maybe you've never thought about it. I have to be honest and say, I don't know if I had really thought about it as I should have until preparing this week. As I finish, I want to share one of the key messages linked into this from scripture while I was on my sabbatical. Before I left, I'd briefly mentioned these verses in Matthew 28, which were, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when Clive and I had met with Maggie and David Cameron before I left, she was praying for me before going on sabbatical. And this was the same verse that she brought in her prayer as well. And I really felt God was saying something to me in terms of ministry, and always to be aware that perhaps feeling a real weight of what's involved in ministry, to realize if that weight is too heavy, then it's something that I'm trying to carry myself, and that it should be his weight. And then as I thought more about it, I thought it actually applies for all of you as well. As you come here on Sundays and as you hear God's word being spoken to you as we meet together, and that it's important for you that you realize we are not wanting or looking to put a weight upon you which is not of him. Whether that's a sense of unrealistic expectations or something additional to scripture. But preparing this week, I've had a further and much deeper understanding of this, of these verses in relation to the Sabbath. It's no coincidence that these verses immediately precede the section where Jesus declares that he is Lord of the Sabbath. He is Lord of the Sabbath. We find our Sabbath, our rest in Jesus. For now and through all eternity. In Colossians 2, we read the Sabbath is only a shadow of what is to come, and that the substance belongs to Christ. You see, amidst the legalism of the Pharisees who said, Jesus can't be from God because he didn't keep the Sabbath, Jesus says, it's the Sabbath that points to my grace. My yoke is easy. As opposed to the Pharisees and their weight of legal laws and expectations, which was unachievable. Come to me, he says, and I will give you rest, Sabbath. We are to find a rest in him. It's a rest and a peace that passes understanding in life. And perhaps you're here today and there's a lot of confusion. Perhaps there's a weight of guilt upon you. God wants to give you rest and peace and a yoke that comes from him. We are to find our rest in him. So will you find your rest in him, or continue a restless experience? A Sabbath rest for God's people begins now, but will find its fullness in what Hebrews says is a Sabbath rest to come, which is in heaven with him forever. We only know about rest in part, but will know in full in heaven. So Sabbath rest or restless. As you hear the good news, it's a good message, it's good news of the hope, the rest, the forgiveness that only Jesus can bring. Let us hear the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest. Let us respond to what God is saying to us this morning, perhaps to change what we do with our Sabbath day, to give it more thought, to give it its rightful place, perhaps to acknowledge our restlessness. Perhaps that weight of guilt, our need of rest in him, to give thanks. And for all of us in the rhythm of life and of eternity, to find our rest in him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are a good God. Thank you that you care for us. We thank you for this provision of a Sabbath day, this need that is built into us as human beings for rest. Father God, I pray that each one of us may find our rest in you. Thank you that you are Lord of the Sabbath. Thank you that you don't pile a lot of rules on top of us, but you want us to enjoy this gift, your special day, a holy day, a day to worship, a day to remember you, a day to meet together, a day to celebrate. So we give you thanks and pray for your continued blessing on us today. In Jesus' name. Amen.